Turning now in the scriptures, you turn there in them with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we heard starting last week, the beginning of chapter 12, where he speaks about the variety of gifts and the one and same Spirit who gives them. And so now we're in verses 14 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 31. So, beloved, hear now the words of our great and powerful God. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. And that is the word of the Lord. The opening chapter of this book, Paul says, now I exhort you, brethren, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. And we know, studying so far in the Corinthian church, they are and have been divided because even of this, what is being talked about in this chapter, spiritual things, spiritual gifts. Is Christ divided? No, there's one body. And there are many members which make up this body. We see, again, reading verses 15 to 18. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. Just as the Lord desired. He has placed us in the body, where we are within the body, with differing gifts according to His great wisdom. And if this is His great wisdom, then we need to fall in line. For we are to do all things, we learned in chapter 10. We are to do all things for the glory of God. And so verse 20, there are many members, but one body. So you individual Christian, you cannot say that you have no need of the body. You can't say that you have no need of the church, that you have no need of being part of the church or part of a local congregation which makes up the church visible, as so many do in our day. So you can't say that if you don't have a particular gift also here. If you don't have a particular gift, you cannot say, well, you think of what some people do say. Some people in the church today say, well, you don't have the gift of speaking in tongues, and therefore you are not part of the body. You are not saved. You're not a Christian. You're not part of the church. Here's Paul. He's saying, if you don't have a gift, a particular gift, you can't say that you're not part of the body. He's saying the exact opposite of those people who say, if you don't have the gift of speaking in tongues, for example, that you're not part of the body. He's saying that if you don't have a particular gift, that does not make you any less part of the body. For you indeed are part of the body. For there are many parts, many members of the church, the body. Then he goes on, he says, verse 21 and following, thinking of those outside of you and their gifts. Well, if they don't have this one particular spiritual gift, then they aren't as special as me, who has this other, greater, perhaps, gift. They aren't part of the body. They aren't good enough. They aren't blessed enough. There are people in the church today who think that. You can't say that, Paul says. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. The head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so who have been bestowed great honor by God? Those which don't seem to fit in. Those who have what we think are lesser gifts. To those in the church of Jesus Christ in whom men would deem less honorable. God says they have much more honor. We might ask the question, why were deacons instituted in Acts 6? The primary reason they were instituted, we have the office of deacon today, is so that the weak would be cared for and honored, the widows and orphans. And then Paul twice gives the list of those, of some of the spiritual gifts. Here, as verse 27 says, you, beloved, are Christ's body and individual members of it. Then he gives at least one way you are individuals. Individual members who make up the one body of Christ, the church, through the differing gifts that you have. God has appointed the gifts. Are all teachers? No. Do all speak in tongues who are part of the church? No. And I come back to that issue of speaking in tongues. Later we'll cover the meaning of that in a different chapter. But since it is referred to much in our day, it is important to note that speaking in tongues ought not to be the most desired gift. For twice in this chapter, it is the last gift mentioned, verse 10 and in verse 28, also verse 30. It is not the most desired gift that Paul says should be desired. At least it ought not to be the most desired gift. Verse 31, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. The greater gifts he has shown from in his labeling of them. First, second, third. Very clear of the greater gifts, what they are. God, verse 28, has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Those are deemed the greater gifts, and one ought to pursue them as one is able, as God allows. In that, we know, we'll get to another time in 1 Corinthians, that the gifts of apostle and prophet have ceased as gifts because of the closing of the canon of Scripture. They are no longer given by God as spiritual gifts or ministries. And we'll learn as well, speaking in tongues is included in that. But Paul shows a more excellent way, he says. And we'll see that in chapter 13. Beloved, your gift or gifts shows your role in the body of Christ, and it is important. But Paul's message here is that ought not to be the pursuit of your life. Your role in the church should not be the pursuit of your life, of your Christian life. It is just your role. It is what God has placed you in the moment. For this time, for the glory of God. Your role is just your role. The pursuit of the Christian life is to what? Glorify the Lord. However you may do so according to His Word. And so let us pursue the glory of God. Let our focus not be on gifts, but on His glory. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise You for Your glory. Your glory that illumines that new city. Your glory that illumines our hearts and our minds by Your Spirit through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the gospel. And Your glory in the giving of gifts to Your church, that we would be used as instruments so the gospel would be spread and Your body would be edified and encouraged and comforted and served well, even widows and orphans. For we ask that those who You have given at this time what we would consider sinfully, consider less honorable or less presentable gifts. Lord, honor such people. Lord, lift them up. Encourage them to continue serving You. Serving the body, serving the church. All for Your glory. We ask that we would be focused upon Your Word. That we would pursue holy lives in Christ Jesus. Righteous lives in Him. For that is the pursuit of our lives, that You may be given all glory and praise and honor and be exalted, that people would see our good works that You work in us. And glorify the Father who is in heaven. That they would glorify You. That they would hear the gospel and believe in the name of Jesus Christ for salvation, knowing that there is no name under heaven by which we must be saved except Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that You would cause those who are used, who use other people in the body, who cause other Christians to stumble and doubt their salvation because of not having a particular gift. We pray that You would cause them to turn from their great sin and turn unto You. That they would understand this chapter of Scripture, most particularly showing that they are wrong and that they need You, and that it is not a particular gift that causes you to enter into the kingdom of heaven, to be one of the elect, to be saved, to have Your Spirit. Not one gift. But we know in Your church there are a variety of gifts, a variety of ministries, and yet one and the same Spirit of all of them. Father, we ask this day that You would build us up in faith. Any doubts that we do have, we ask that You would put them to death and cause us to believe. Grant us faith, even in those, especially in those places where there is unbelief. Strengthen us. Father, we pray for those who are struggling in their faith and their souls, struggling in their obedience to You, struggling to have assurance that You would bring about a knowing that they know You, a knowledge that they love You, a knowledge that You're abiding in them, that Your promises would be true to them and they would believe them, and that they would see that they believe them, that they would not stumble over such things. Lord, train our hearts through trials and in bad circumstances, that we would be trained up unto righteousness for Your glory alone. Father, we pray for our congregation that You would make us one, that there would be no division amongst us, and of the church worldwide there would be no division. We long for the day when that will be true, when the truth is known clearly to all and believed and lived after accordingly. And that we together as a church will be united. United with Your Son, the head of the church. Father, we long for that day. So bless us now as we look forward to it, as we continue in our worship, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.